Right, well, if the kiddies want to come and sit down here, because otherwise you won't see. Have you noticed how messy musicians are? George is nodding his head there. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, and isn't it good that you can still sing, "Oh Happy Day," when you're not even going to get in the top four of the Premier League, eh? I thought John was emphasising that just to rub it in a little bit. Now, if you want to move as well, because you won't be able to see too much from there. Right. Well, I thought we'd do a little bit of a down memory lane today. Is that all right? Because I was thinking about this, because I was thinking that whenever it comes near Easter, it always reminds me that it was two Wednesdays before Easter, back in 19... 1972, spot on, when it was my first, happy day. Because it was then when I became a believer. Are you going to give us a nice smile again? That's a dead cute smile without those teeth, isn't it? Some of the older ones haven't got their teeth, so don't be worried, right? Les hasn't got that many. I noticed this year they've kept the Easter eggs away from him over there. Hey? Now, are you good at maths? What numbers are?
Nothing.
It's nothing, that's right. So if I put that with it, what does it become then? It's a snowman, that's right. Yeah. Where do you live? Yeah. Obviously near a nuclear reactor. Yeah. You see, it's a... But what number has it become? Eight. Brilliant. I like number eight because, you see, if I push that in there, it reminds me of Easter. Now, you need to wiggle your fingers, boys and girls. And you need to say some magic words. Please and thank you. The best magic words of all. Say those magic words. Please and thank you. And seeing as you look very smart, young man. Hey? And seeing as you've got red snowman, do you want to tap your hand on the top there? Brilliant. Because it reminds me of Easter. Are you ready? It's a rabbit. And you know, I got the rabbit because when I was thinking, I thought we'd go on a little bit of a down memory lane. I got the rabbit because we see Easter bunnies, don't we? And the thing that struck me about Easter bunnies, and I was reading about rabbits this week, because in my misspent youth, I used to go hunting rabbits. And I was reading about rabbits. I did with ferrets and air rifles. Yeah. If it moves, shoot it. And then what sort of struck me about the rabbits was it reminded, because some Christians think, oh, we don't have Easter bunnies, but I think it's a great thing to have an Easter bunny. Because what I remember about bunnies is, you see, they multiply. Right? They keep multiplying. And it doesn't matter what happens to bunnies, they seem to survive. And I was reading that in the 1950s, when I was born the first time.
I can read.
I was born in the 1950s, right? And they brought in a strange disease called myxomatosis. They are, right? And they nicknamed it Mixie. Has anybody got it? And you can even eat rabbits that have got myxomatosis if you cook it well enough. Right, I found that out as well this week. Not that I want to try it. Right, but, and it was because there was too many rabbits. And they invented this disease. They made this disease to get rid of rabbits. But they couldn't. And that's why we've still got bunnies. And it reminds me of Easter, because Jesus said, I will build my church. And it doesn't matter what things get inflicted upon it. It's like rabbits. We keep coming back. We keep hopping to it. That's why we have places like IHOP. I just made that up. Yeah, it just came to me. It's a gift. Can't learn it. But we keep coming back. And it doesn't matter what persecution comes. And overnight there would have been tens of thousands of people that hopped into the kingdom of God because of Jesus. Because they discovered Jesus. And the church keeps growing and growing and growing. And it's all part of God's plan. Because you see, what God does is he wants us to understand something. Now you've got to watch this very carefully, because I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 cars. Now can you see the difference with that one?
Yeah.
It's got a big hole in it. Now, is it a hole or is it a spot? It's a spot, isn't it? You see, people don't like spots. Now, is it a movable spot? Or, I told you you'd have to move if you wanted to say, I'm not bothering with you lot. Alright? You talk amongst yourselves or take up another offering or something, you know? But don't touch the eggs. Les is getting worried at the moment. Is it a spot or is it a hole? Well, it's a spot. It could be a hole, but it's a spot. But it's something that God uses to highlight the fact that right at the beginning we were in a complete mess. And that's why he needed to do something about it, because it started with one little sin that Adam and Eve committed. But here's the amazing thing, is that it just wasn't an illusion, because when God looked at it, it actually became a reality. It was really, really there. But you see, it also became a little bit contagious, because it started to spread. And before people knew it, that problem of sin, all those bad thoughts, bad words and bad deeds, had started to spread all around the world. And it had become a real, real problem. And what God does constantly is he tries to highlight the fact that we have got a problem. And that's why he puts a big circle around it and says, you've got a real mess right in the middle of your life. And you see, what God does constantly is he looks down and he says, now there's something else that you haven't seen. Because he looks down and he says, I want people to realise that without Jesus they've got a big hole in their life. Now you wish you would have moved now and seen all that, wouldn't you? Hey? Tough, right? If you pick the cheap seats in the morning, right? You see, and that's what God wants to do. He wants to show us that we have got a mess in each one of our lives. But that is actually the God of great, great promise. And one of his promises, and I was thinking about this, it reminds me that God constantly promises us great things. And he's a God who's faithfully promised to send the Messiah. And that's why I've got this brown bag, because brown, it reminds me of the colour of wood. And it reminds me that there's a film out at the moment called Noah, that's right. And has anybody seen it? Nobody's seen it? Yeah. What do you reckon? I'm with you. Yeah. And it reminds me, you see, that this bag reminds me of the wood. And do you know what sort of wood it was that Noah built the ark with? Pardon?
Bark.
Woof, woof. It's a gift. I've just made that up again, you know. That what sort of wood?
Bark from a tree.
What? Bark. Somebody said it at the back. What? Gopher wood, that's right. Have you ever seen any gopher wood?
No.
No, you see? It might have been oak, might have been elm, might have been birch. But it was gopher wood. You know why? Because when God told him to build the ark, he said to his sons, he says, we're going to build an ark, I want you to go forward. You don't get that in the film, you see. Yeah? So they went for wood. Well, no, it was go for wood, but they had to go for it. And they went. And they built the ark. And do you know what Noah's wife was called? She was called Joan. Joan of Arc.
You don't get that in the film either, do you? See? We're in the cheap seats. What? Right. And Noah said to his sons, he says, you know, when the ark's built, I'm going to send all sorts. Am I getting heckled here? He says, I'm going to send some animals. So let me show you the inside of my bag, because he says, I'm going to send animals of all sorts, and birds and creatures. There's the inside of my bag. Can you see them all? There's a couple of you here, isn't there? A couple of chickens. Where do you live? Chickens. They're parrots. Salford. Yeah. It's not a budgie. Dear me. Yeah. So there was lots of animals. Do you know how many animals there were? All together, yeah.
It's an even number.
Oh, are you trying to trick me out here, aren't you? An even number. Why is it an even number?
They went in twos by two. No, they only went in by two.
They went in by two. That's right. Leave the jokes to me, son, okay? But I like that one. I'll use it. I'll give you. What did he say? He says they went in even numbers because when Adam married, she was Eve, so it was even. The boy has got a future, mate. Get his name down. You'll be here one day. Actually, you weren't quite correct, because the clean animals went in seven pairs, and the unclean animals went in as one pair. Do you know why? Because they smelt. Yeah, that's right. And no, the reason was because the unclean animals, like rabbits, rats, they breed quicker. The clean animals breed slower, so they had to have more of them. Okay. Are you doing the magic trick there? I saw your uncle. Anyway, let me show you the inside of my bag. Because once they got all the animals on board, came the saddest words in the Bible. And it says, and God closed the door. Don't get that on the film? closed the door. So let me show you the inside of my bag for what happened next. Because then, the waters of the heavens and the earth broke forth. And the ark started to float. And everybody that was on the outside got drowned. And Noah and his sons and daughters, eight of them, you don't get that on the film, right? They were safe on board the ark. And after a long time on board the ark, Noah looked out and it stopped raining and the water started to go down, and he sent out a bird. What was the bird called? I said, what was a bird called? Not what sort of bird. It's called Percy. But you're right, it was a blackbird. Okay. And he sent out a blackbird, and did the blackbird come back? A raven, sorry, but it was coloured black. And then he sent out a what? A dove. And did the dove come back? And what did it carry? What did it carry? A twig. What was the twig though? An olive leaf. Well done. An olive leaf. And as Noah looked out, he saw that everything was starting to grow. So let me show you the inside of my bag. Because everything was beginning to grow once again. And the ark came to rest on the top of Mount Everest. It was close. No, Mount Ararat. And it came to rest. And Noah let all the animals out and said, go forth and multiply. And him and his wife and kids that were all kept safe, they came outside and they said, we want to thank God for being faithful to his promises. And so they offered God a sacrifice. And when they looked up in the sky, what did they see? Well, let me show you the inside of my bag. Because when they looked up, they saw a rainbow. And you see, it was because God, right from the very beginning, is a God who keeps his promises. He'll never fail. He'll never let us down. And God says, I will never flood the earth to destruction ever again. Because God is a God of promises. And God has promised right from the very beginning that he would not leave us in our spotty condition with the mess that we face, but that he would actually come and look after us, because he's the God who cares. He's the God who keeps promises. And you see, sometimes we think, well, where are God's promises? Can you see what colour that is?
The sheep's more like a purple white.
The sheep's more like a purple white.
Yeah.
It is purple because it's royal, you see. But can you see what the colour is right in the middle there?
Yeah.
It's about there. About there. Black. With a touch of green. That was for the kids. You gross it up for the kids, you see. And you see, sometimes people think, well, where's God's promises in my life? Because I can't see them. But God looks down and he says, my promises are there. Now, what I need you to do is to wiggle your fingers. Because if you look right in that spot, right in the middle there, can you, let me see over it, can you see anything right in that? To be careful, it could be scary. You see, because right in the middle, God looks down and says, even when we can't see, he's the God who keeps his promises. And even when we think we can't see them, he says he keeps them all the time, because he's the God who is faithful and just, never ever to let us down. Now sometimes people think, well, with God in my life, I need a victim. Somebody who's watched the Noah film. Somebody who's seen Noah.
Helen watched it, but
but Helen's been playing up there. She's been working. What's your name, little girl? Dawn. Yeah. I hid from the puns there, Dawn. Okay, so Dawn, what we're going to do is a little experiment here. Somewhere. Yeah, here it is. Because you see, I've got here a pack of cards. Anybody play cards? Yeah. Snap. No, just saying, I play cards now. Yeah. Okay, now you see, one of the problems that we have with understanding God, Dawn,
okay,
is that God is a God who is interested in every one of us. And you see, every card is sort of different on the front, right? But all the same on the back. And that's because God looks down and he sees that every one of us are exactly the same. We all need the same amazing grace. Now what we're going to do, Dawn, is I want you to get one of the fingers that you haven't picked your nose with this morning.
There's not one.
There's not one? Oh! I noticed you didn't want to hold hands with you then. All right. So what I want you to do, Dawn, is to get your finger ready, and I'm going to flick through these cards, and you can say stop whenever you like.
Okay.
Okay, you ready? You got that?
What do we do with this?
Well, you're going to tell me to stop, and you're going to put it on a card.
Right, okay.
Okay, you ready, Dawn?
Yeah.
Here we go then.
Stop.
Miss Lola, Dawn. Okay, Dawn, here we go.
Okay, stop.
You're quicker than the Manchester City forward going down, aren't you? From the penalty area.
Okay, you ready?
That was for you, that, John. You noticed. Okay. I'll do it nice and slow this time, Dawn. There.
Okay.
Okay. I want you to take that card, but don't want to look at it. I want you to look at it, and I want you to remember it.
Okay.
Okay? And if you're going to forget it, if you're not familiar with cards, you might want to show it to somebody else. But I don't want to see it. Okay, finished. Put it back on the top of the cards there. I'm going to place it back in there. And sometimes people think that I do funny things, but I'm going to put those down so that people know that I've not made a little mark or anything. But what I'm going to do now is, because your card's in there, I'm going to shuffle it right in there, okay? So I'm going to split the cards together like that, and then I'm going to shuffle them together like that and shove them in, okay? Now what I want you to imagine for a moment is that that card actually represents you. I want you to think that that card is you. And you think, well, I'm just one person here in Mount Chapel. but also I'm just one person here in Salford. I'm also just one person who's here in the United Kingdom. One person on the planet. And what does God know about me? You know, I'm just one in the deck, as it were. But you see, part of God's promise and his plan is that he knows everything about you. Now what we're going to do, Dawn, is we're going to make this a little bit more difficult, because I'm going to put those cards on there like that, and then we're going to wrap them up in the tissue like that. What I want you to do now is just hold those cards, one finger on each hand, okay, like that, and if you could just hold them to your head and to your forehead and okay, think about those cards, because what we're going to do now is I'm actually going to attempt to find that card. And what we're going to do, Dawn, I'm going to throw this knife at you, and the knife is going to go through the air, and it's going to go into the deck of cards, and it's going to stop on the card you selected. Now, in the instructions that I was reading last night, when I was reading the instructions about this last night, it actually said that if I throw the knife too hard and it goes right through the deck, it actually says that the blood that comes from your forehead will stain the card that you've chosen. But I don't really want that to happen at this stage. But it'll be a great trick. It'll be an Easter you'll remember, kids, right? You'll never forget this. And neither will you. It's better than the film, miss. The insurance up to date. Okay. Now, obviously, Dawn, you're looking a little bit nervous here. So, I think what we'll do is we'll use a little blindfold. Okay. Okay. No, we won't throw the knife.
Okay.
But we'll get you. Okay, but we will get your hubby out to throw it. I'm not. I can't take responsibility. Come on, knee.
Now I am getting worried now.
You are getting worried. Okay, now all I want you to do, just hold the cards
okay, like
that. You see, because it inside, no, edge down. That's it. Perfect. You see, cause I have got the knife because Dawn's card is hidden in there somewhere. And, you know, not even Dawn knows where it is. I don't know where it is. And, you know, sometimes we can think to ourselves, well, does God know where I am? And in the Bible, God says that he knows everything about you. He knows you're getting up. He knows you're lying down. He knows whatever you do. He says, in fact, he even said that not even a sparrow falls to the ground without my Heavenly Father knowing it. You know, if you've been watching the news this last 3 weeks, all the nations of earth, with all the technology they've got, they can't find one jet plane, the one passenger plane that has disappeared from the face of the earth. They can't find it. All the technology can't discover where it is at this moment in time. But right now, God knows exactly where you are. He knows everything you've done, and he's more interested in your future than your past. And he's got a plan for you. And he actually says that the sword of his Holy Spirit, that's why I've got this knife, knows where we are. Now what I want you to do is very carefully just hold that knife and not throw it at her. But I want you to edgeways on, just stab it into that deck anywhere you like. That's it. Perfect. Straight the way through, but watching the fingers at the same time. Brilliant. Okay, I'll just take that back. And here's the amazing thing, is that it doesn't matter where we hide, because King David says, you know, where can I flee from your presence? Because it doesn't matter where I go, you're going to find me, because your Holy Spirit is there. And the knife comes right on.
Very good.
Was that the card?
That's it.
That was the card. that she picked. But here's the amazing thing about it all, because God actually knows the choices we would make. You see that envelope behind you there, Dawn, with a P on it? Could you just open it up?
Okay.
And take out what's on the inside? and show it around. You see, because God knows everything about you and me, because it's all His plan. Don't show them, they're in the tutus, right? Because it's all part of His plan for your life and for my life. Okay, give them a big clap. Give them a big clap for being a good sport. And you see, just as Jesus knew the two that were on the road to Emmaus that we heard about before, Jesus knows exactly where you are. And he knows that just like those two, they'd run away. You might be here this morning, you might have run away from Him, but He's coming after you. Because He wants you to have a relationship with Him. You might not have ever given your life to Him. You might have even thought, God, you can't be interested in me, you've got too much on your mind. God looks at you and He says, I know the thoughts I have for you to give you a future and a hope. And at this Easter time, all you have to do is just simply say, God, I am sorry for the sins I've committed in my thoughts, words and deeds. Come and live in my life and change me from the inside out. And you know what? If you act on that promise of God, God will do exactly what you've requested Him to do. So God bless you this Easter. And John, back to you.